Welcome back, everyone. Exodus 33 today on Through the Word, as we enter into one of the most dramatic passages in all of Scripture. Things slowed down there for a while as we spent time with Moses on the mountain, and the Lord gave him detailed instruction on the law, the tabernacle, the priestly garments, and more. Now remember, all of that was necessary so that God could dwell among his people, so that he could be God with us.
Right. But in chapter 32, Moses returned to the base of the mountain and found the Israelites breaking God's laws unashamedly. So the question is, what will happen to God with us? Will the Lord remain among such sinful people, or will he remove his presence?
Verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I will send an angel before you, and drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey. But I will not go with you, because you are a stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way." So after the golden calf incident, God promises that Israel will still enter the land, but now he will send an angel to guide them. No longer will the Lord himself be with them to lead them. But why?
It appears that God is giving Israel a test. The Israelites can have the land and even an angel to lead them in, only without God's presence. Now, should they take the deal? Would you take it? Get all the perks of following God with this one small difference, that the Lord just isn't with you?
Verse 4. When the people heard these distressing words, they began to mourn, and no one put on any ornaments. What a contrast to the idolatry of the previous chapter. They strip off their finery. This is not time for party clothes. They mourn at the prospect of going forward without the Lord's presence.
And God responds to their sorrow. Verse 7. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. So God does not utterly abandon his people, but he does meet with Moses at a distance instead of being in the midst of the camp. God's justice requires that he not be directly with them in the same manner as before, lest he need to strike them dead.
Verse 9. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance, while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to their tent. I love this tent of meeting. It's not the tabernacle, that's not built yet. This is just a tent, but it's set up at a distance, outside the camp, so that Moses can get away from the people and just be with God. Sometimes you need that, especially when home has so many people living against God.
And Moses would continually go in and out of the tent whenever he wanted to or needed to meet with God. But there is one person who never wanted to leave the tent. Verse 11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Joshua was kind of like an assistant to Moses and the military commander for Israel. But when God moves his meeting location outside camp, Joshua stays with the Lord. He spends as much time as he can in the tent with God. Not a bad place to be, and it shows that, with very few exceptions, Joshua was a great leader in Israel, and here at a younger age, we see the source of that strength.
But don't miss the fact that Moses met face to face with the Lord. How is that possible? Later in the chapter, the Lord tells Moses, "You cannot see my face and live." So what's going on?
Now, there are several theories about this, and the text simply doesn't explain it. It could be that this face-to-face meeting happens with Jesus, the Lord appearing in human form, and the later interaction is with the Father. It's not clear, but the heart of the story is the closeness that Moses has with God and the very personal nature of their interaction as one speaks to a friend.
Verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favor with me.' If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." I love this prayer. This is the heartfelt prayer of a desperate man called to lead God's people, but thoroughly aware that he cannot do it without the Lord's presence. And amen to that. And I love his request, "Teach me your ways so I may know you." And in verse 14, the Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." So the Lord will indeed lead his people. And we learn that God hears prayer, and he responds with compassion to a heart that asks to know him.
Verse 15, "Then Moses said to him, 'If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?"
This is so good. Moses acknowledges that without God's presence, it's all worthless. And the same is true for us. We can pack the church, hit the lights, put on a show, but without God's presence, how is it different from anything else that the world offers?
Now, this passage is very special to me because before we moved to Kenya, I once cried out a very similar prayer. I asked God to only let us move if he were really leading us. I didn't want to move my young family halfway around the globe if it was just my own desires. I really wanted to make sure that God was leading us. And then I opened my Bible, and Exodus 33 was part of my scheduled devotions for the day. It was just what I needed to read. In verse 17, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name.'"
Twice now, we have this reminder that the Lord knows Moses by name. It's an amazing expression of closeness, of personal knowledge. "I know you by name." And Moses responds with a very personal request for God. Verse 18, "Then Moses said, 'Now show me your glory.'" Wow, now that's a big one. The glory of God, his greatness. The Hebrew word is kabod. It literally means weight. It's as if Moses is saying, "I've seen the burning bush. I've seen the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud that mark your presence. Now I want to see your substance, the full reality of you, Lord." Whatever Moses had experienced with God, he wanted more. Verse 19, "And the Lord said, 'I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.'"
Moses asks for the glory of God to pass in front of him, and God says he will reveal his goodness. God's glory is revealed in his goodness. He's entirely good, and this influences and impacts everything that he is and does. And God says he will also proclaim his name, the revelation of his character and nature.
The chapter ends with God's plan. Moses cannot see his face, so the Lord will hide him in the cleft of a rock and pass by, and Moses will see his back. The word can also mean afterglow or something like that. Basically, it's as much as Moses can handle. And what a difference from the beginning of the chapter to the end. We began with the Lord's presence being removed from Israel, but the nation mourned, and Moses interceded and pursued God outside the camp. So what about you? If you feel distant from God, seek him. Search your heart and confess any sin that might separate you. Pray and ask others to pray with you. The Lord responds to those who seek him in purity, and blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.